And we've just been joined by Alan.
Alan Hollands.
Alan right. Hollands.
Councillor for Lake North.
This is the first time we've met, isn't it?
It is, yes, that's right, yes.
And how long have you been a councillor?
This time 2 years, but I was a councillor for 7 years under the previous structure, when it was a committee structure in the early...
early 2000s.
It's a fair while ago now. It's, yeah, the, you know, the system is so different now. It's I think the lack of information is the hardest thing to get used to.
Right.
With the old committee structure, I think people, well, there's far more people on a committee, so therefore you get to know everything a lot more.
So how are you finding it?
It's okay this time. It's as I wanted to be computer illiterate all my life. I was hoping that when I retired from my business, I didn't need a computer at the end of the days. But unfortunately, when I got elected, it was a shock to me that I had to start using the computers and those sort of things, which you know, I didn't think I would ever need to do, because I wasn't anticipating ever going to stand again or seriously get elected again at the time.
What makes you want to stand? I mean, these days, because you get so much. Years ago, the only stick you're going to get is kind of verbal when you meet people. Nowadays, it's like, you know, it's on Twitter, it's on Facebook, it's, you know, it's all kind of stick. So what makes you want to stand?
I think the biggest problem you got is you know, when I first stood many years ago, I think it was about 25 years ago now, I was probably, as a lot of people know and tell me, I was a Conservative supporter at that time, and I was completely disillusioned with Thatcher. So I joined the Labour Party and immediately wanted to change the world. That's how my attitude, why I joined the Labour Party, and that's how come. And then within a very short space of time, there was council elections, and people said to me, well, I said to people, who's standing in our area? And they said, we don't stand in the Lake area at the time, or the Bay area at the time. And I originally stood in Lake when it was a borough election for two councillors. We actually polled about 10% each, the two Labour candidates, which is not far off about 23% of the total vote. So, you know, it wasn't nowhere near enough to be elected, but it was a start, and that's how it started, really. Why do we do it? I would sometimes like to ask that question to myself. I don't really know why we do it. I think we are a glutton for punishment in many cases, because especially nowadays, there's very little we can do. We can only advise, direct people. In the old days, you could actually get some things done because there was always a bit of spare cash around and you could actually do stuff. But unfortunately today, you can advise and direct people where to go, and then basically you've got to wait. Now, I'll give you an example on Lake Cliff. At the moment, we're waiting for some plans to come forward to hopefully reopen the cliff walk or cliff path. But the biggest problem is when they come through, there's going to be a bill. And obviously the council have very lack of finance at the moment. So the idea might come along and say, OK, fine, we'll do it. But when that will actually be done, I haven't got a clue, and I can't see happening for several years probably.
Okay, let's talk about, because you talked about finances, let's talk about the old budget, because the budget's big at the moment, because the government have said you're only getting X amount, so you guys are all frantically doing your sums and trying to work out the best way forward. Are you all working together?
The papers are come out, and you obviously read the papers, and it, obviously it's a bit more difficult now because we're not talking that closely to the independent group at the moment because of what's happened over the Medina School, the lack of information on what was going on before they decided to recommend the closure of Medina School. We, you know, honestly, you know, there should have been some sort of consultation prior to be made public, I think, out of courtesy to Jeff Lumley, because it's his ward, and the other members. They should have been told before it was made public this was happening. And it was a shock to an awful lot of people. But regarding the budget, we've been made very aware of what happens where the budget cuts are looking. I don't see some of the figures, I think, are probably pie in the sky. I personally feel that there will be probably a big cut, dig into the reserves, because I can't actually see him finding all the budget cuts. I think the money's just not there, the cuts aren't there to be made. I don't think we can honestly make many more cuts than what we're actually making unless you completely stop most of the services.
Okay, look, just move yourself a little bit closer to that microphone. I've got another question for you.
Yeah.
I'd say, are you all working together? That's the question.
We're talking. We go to meetings. There are meetings, but I wouldn't say we're not working together as structure. The papers are there for us to look at, and we'll be obviously making our recommendations probably at the budget meeting rather than the any time earlier.
Okay. And you're one of two Labour councillors?
Two Labour councillors, yes.
Obviously, there was one for so many years, and Jeff was on his own, and there you are. You're the other one.
I'm the other one this time, yeah. Originally, when I was first on, I was the third of... that made it three out of two, and then we did have four for a time.
Okay, so nationally, I know you're only here for a short spell this time, but it'd be great to get you in, maybe do a whole hour with you and maybe Jeff.
Possibly, yeah, be fine, yeah.
And talk about things, and you've obviously got an axe to grind, and so has Jeff, about Medina and the Carisbrook situation, which, you know, I can kind of understand, but I don't know the full SP on it. It to me, I used to go to Medina, I used to live in the area, so I think to myself, well, hang on a minute, shouldn't we be protecting it? It's a much newer school, but I don't know too much about it. I don't know enough about it to make a decision.
I think that there's lots of problems. You know, the biggest problem we have really is letting everybody on the island realise that the only two LEA schools we got on the island are Carisbrook and Medina. So many people who send their local children to the local academy or free school or wherever, they actually believe or think to themselves that's still an LEA school. But we haven't. We've only got the two LEA schools, and those are the two that we're obviously talking about today. The officers would like to enlarge the numbers of Carisbrook because that's the largest school. The problem I have is if some of the other schools start failing for whatever reason, we might find that people would start drifting, and obviously they would not be able to drift to one school once it's filled to capacity and there's nowhere else for those children to go to. So, you know, I have, you know, my feeling really is we probably definitely need to keep the two schools open, mainly for those reasons, the fact that, you know, if there is a problem in one of the other schools and people start drifting, you know, everybody can look at what's happened with... the church school is, you know, people have drifted there because their numbers and have gone up over the last few years. The results have been improving, so people look at results like that and decide to move their children. So, you know, if one of these new academies or the free schools, you know, don't come up to scratch from what parents' opinions think they should get from their children's, then you know, they might start saying, okay, well, we'll move our children to Medina. And if you can't do that if Medina's shut. So therefore, that's why I'd like to keep the two schools open.
Well, I'd like to think that the people that are going to make the decisions are actually going to go through, you know, and I'm sure they are going through a protocol, going through a process, so that you know, the correct decision is made.
I believe I'm going to be talking with Jeff about it later on, but I believe the executive member could actually do this, to propose it and do it through the executive. We may be asking them to actually, if that is the case, to ask full council for a vote rather than leave it to the executive for a vote, because I would think it's such a big decision, I believe the full council should make a decision on this one. Okay. Rather than just an executive.
Makes sense to me.
You know, to me, you know, everybody should have a say, not just the people that are trying to run the council. They're a minority group now, and as I say, you know, it should be up to everybody to make a decision on it. You know, we've got to live with the decisions. We've already realised how bad the decision was when we organised our schools, the mistakes that were made, and we're now trying to live with those mistakes. So.
Okay. I've got obviously the national thing. You might have seen this over the weekend, Dame Shirley, that they're asking, certain people are asking Andrew Turner to resign. Mm. His own people
yes,
are now
I
saying
know.
You ought to resign. Mm. Mm. In our lifetime, there has never ever been a Labour MP on the Isle of Wight. It's been Tory or Lib Dems.
Yeah,
and Alan thinks you've got a chance this year. So why do you think you've got a chance?
I seriously think we've got a chance. The main reason I believe we've got a chance is that obviously the Conservatives are in a bit of disarray. There are two factions, two ideas of who should be their candidate. You know, whoever their candidate is, I still think they will struggle with this election. I think obviously UKIP will poll a few votes, but I'm hoping that we will poll some of those Liberal Gem votes on the island that for years on the island we've been saying vote Liberal, keep the Tory out. And now we can see what the consequences of that is after 5 years of a Lib Tory government. You know, I think those Liberal voters who obviously do not want a Tory MP, hopefully will move back to where their probably original roots are. Because you analyse the votes over many years, you know, Newport was a Labour-controlled council. So at the moment, we've only got one councillor in Newport. But so therefore, you can, there are traditionally Labour voters who are probably voting for other ways because they deem that, you know, that we haven't got a chance or hadn't had a chance in the past. But I honestly do believe that if we can spring a proportion of those votes over to us, a three-way fight then between the three parties, it might mean, you know, we actually have got a chance. And I'm just hoping anybody who do not want to see a UKIP or a Conservative parliamentary candidate, MP for the island, Stuart Blackmore is a very good choice, and obviously a very big move away from what we've got at the moment.
I'll tell you what, it's going to be the most interesting, how can I put it? I was going to say battle. The way it's going at the moment, it probably will be a battle, but it's going to be interesting purely and simply because absolutely nobody knows. And the unknown quantity in all of this is UKIP. Now, I'll tell you something. When I went to see a show in Shanklin a couple of months before Christmas, they mentioned UKIP. The guy on stage, Al Murray, mentioned UKIP, and the crowd went mad. And I looked around and I thought, crikey, we're in a Tory town here. And they're all going crazy for UKIP. So, and what with the elections, the European elections last year, 15,000 people got off their backsides on the Isle of Wight and voted for someone that they didn't even know because they weren't from the island. I mean, that tells you that the Isle of Wight peeps are a little bit sort of, I don't know, a little bit hacked off with what they've had and what they've gone through. So maybe votes are up for grabs, as you say. In the last election, 20,000 people voted Lib Dem. They ain't going to get 20,000 this time round.
That's correct. And I think the biggest problem you've got, though, with the UKIP vote is you've got people making statements, saying things, promising things, and they haven't had to deliver. You can just look back to the local elections. I don't think the controlling group on the island, when they got elected in the numbers they got elected, I think they were hoping to preserve budgets, but once they got in control, they realised that they got to manage the budget, and that's slightly different. So whatever UKIP are promising and saying they're going to do, I think what actually happens if they did get any votes would be entirely different.
I'll tell you what would be really, really good one day, if and this isn't a dig, don't take this the wrong way, it'd be really, really nice to hear a politician say what we're going to do and what not the others are not going to do. So maybe one day you come back and
I'll tell you what I would do if I was in government.
Okay.
A very quick statement is I would stop all the tax avoidance by some of the big businesses, find a way of how they're doing it and stopping it from happening. Any company that has got a business in Europe should have their finances for that business within the European market. They shouldn't be allowed to get their money from outside Europe and then pay off loans that the no taxation goes on those loans to whoever they got their loans with.
Okay.
I believe that
makes sense.
You know those businesses, if a business is making so much money and they've got to pay your interest off, you know, whoever they pay the interest off, that company should pay taxes within Europe, not outside in another foreign land.
Okay, maybe you come back and we'll talk more on that. Can you just tell us quickly about your business? You're a taxi driver. Give us some details. If we need a taxi.
I don't know. I don't know whether I should really actually talk about my business because personally, you know, I'm here as a county councillor. You wouldn't have asked me in as a taxi provider. But I'd say taxi business is okay, fine. Disagree with a lot of things that the council are suggesting. I do not understand why we need a medical every year when bus drivers and heavy goods vehicles don't.
You have to have a medical every year.
Well, that's one of the proposals they're trying to bring through at the moment.
Oh, you've got to come back.
No.
We've only just scratched the surface. Will you come back soon?
Yeah, I'll come back.
We'll do a whole hour.
I'll come back. Yeah, no problem.
Brilliant. Okay.
But as I say, you know, there's lots of silly things. I'll come back. If you want to talk about my business, just sold you the business. If we want me back twice, I'll do twice. One business and one politics.
That's amazing.
No, I feel that my business is
separate.
Completely detached, yeah. I try and detach it best I can.
Okay. Hey, it's nice to meet you. Nice to chat to you.
Nice
and we'll have a more in-depth conversation soon. Bye.